Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in. If you're watching this, this would have been the Wednesday night service on June the 9th, but for some reason the internet didn't cooperate with us then, so we're re-recording it. And thank Travis for giving up his time to come out here and do that. But this would have been not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. This is the service that didn't get to make it to YouTube, so we're gonna redo it. But like I said, thank you for tuning in to Wednesday night service for Grace Community Church. And my name is Wade, and I'm glad you're tuning in. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share this message. I thank you for the opportunity to re-record it, Lord, so that we can get it out there to others that need it. Father, I just pray that you'll bless this message, and I just pray that you'd open hearts and minds that hear it, Lord, to receive it and to apply it to their lives, Lord, so that they can bear the fruit that comes from it. Lord, I pray that you'd remove me out of the way. I pray that you would say what you want said. And I just ask that you wouldn't let me say anything that you don't want said, Lord. Father, we just surrender this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the week before this, we talked about how faithful that God is and how much God loves us. And we talked about he loves us unconditionally because his love for us is not based on our works. It's not something that we can earn. We can't earn God's love. He just loves us. You know, it says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, that God is love. So he don't just love us, he is love. And we talked about how when we mess up, we can come to God and we can confess, you know, when we fall short or if we've sinned. And God is faithful. You know, he forgives us and he cleanses us from our sins. And we talked about how important it is to stay connected to God so we don't drift away from him, and how important it is to stay connected or committed to reading God's word at home and being involved at church and in small groups, you know, just being a part of a community of believers, having a church family that we can fall back on for support when we need support. And like we talked about last week, when we start slacking in these things, we start seeing the fruits of the Spirit that we talked about in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We start seeing those things start to fade away in our lives. You know, the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And when we start slacking in those areas, when we start drifting away from God, those things start to fade in our lives and we start getting short-tempered, you know. We get easily agitated. We start getting impatient and we lose our joy and we stop seeing the good things in our lives. And not only do we see these things fading in our lives, we'll start seeing the works of the flesh start manifesting themselves in our lives again. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, it lists all of those. I'm not going to list all of them, but, you know, those things start showing up in our lives again because we're going to be controlled by one or the other. We're going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, or we're going to be controlled by the works of the flesh, our own fleshly desires. So when we start seeing the fruits of the Spirit fade in our lives, that should be a warning sign to us. And we should come to God and, you know, talk to God. Just tell him, I see this happening in my life. And that's what prayer is for. Prayer is not to make yourself feel bad if you are missing the mark. It's an alarm system to draw you back to God so that he can help you with those things. So when we start seeing the negative things showing up in our lives, that's just a warning system to get us to come back to God. It's not God trying to shame you or condemn you. Those are for our good. one of our fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And when we do start fading away without self-control, we wind up doing all kinds of things that we would never do if we're being led by the Holy Spirit, when we are walking with God and when we are staying connected and letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, 2 and verse 16, you know, Paul says, if we let the Holy Spirit guide our lives, then we won't be doing what our sinful natures crave. So we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I told you last week, I know a lot of people who are suffering right now, and my heart truly does break for them, because it seems more times than not, when somebody is down and out and in the middle of a trial or going through some kind of a storm in their lives or something really hard, seems like they fight with everything in them to resist doing the one thing that will help them. And I know I did that, and that is surrender to God. If we're angry, surrender our anger to God. If we've got resentment or unforgiveness towards someone else, you know, a lot of times we feel justified in it, and we're unwilling to surrender that to God. And that quenches the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to be honest with ourselves and be honest with God and bring these things before Him. And through His Holy Spirit, He helps us get rid of those things that we can't get rid of on our own. So we have to surrender those to God and ask Him for help. You know, those are not things we can fix on our own. I told you last week that I know I need God in my life. There's no doubt in my mind. I know I need God. I've proved it to myself over and over. You know, when I listen to the lies of the enemy that I can get by without God, or when I start taking the advice of ungodly people that you don't need all that church stuff, it'll all work out. You know, we'll help you. Every time I do that, I fall flat on my face every time. So we cannot fix ourselves. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. And our ungodly friends, they can't help it either. So if you're getting bad advice, getting ungodly advice, stop listening to those people. You know, they can't fix you, and you can't fix yourself. If we could fix ourselves, we would have done that a long time ago. I know I would have had. I wouldn't have waited this long and went through so much misery in my life. If I could fix myself, I would have done it years ago. But we can't. All we can do without God's help and without the Holy Spirit is make things worse and worse trying to fix our problems. But it seems like most of the time we're willing to try any other way to deal with our problems or to fix our problems than the only way that works, and that is surrender. Surrender of control in our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us make wise decisions that we need to make instead of bad decisions. And that's the only way our lives get better. And that's the only way we find the healing and the direction that we need. Everything else that we try is just a distraction from the enemy to keep us from turning to God so that we can be healed spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and I believe in our health too. You know, I think if we're taking God out of our lives and trying to handle things ourselves, just the stress and anxiety alone will affect your health in a major way. So if we turn these things over to Jesus and He helps us with them, you know, we'll start feeling better spiritually and emotionally and mentally and even in our health. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about Jesus. It says He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls. So Jesus is the only way we can be healed. He is the guardian of our souls. We can't fix our own souls. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, it says God is our refuge and strength. He is always ready to help us in times of trouble. All through the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is shouting to us, just come to me and I will help you. You know, it's just repetitive all through the Bible. If you'll just come to me, I will help you. And I told you last week that I know people that have came to God and he did heal their lives. You know, a year and a half ago, they were very happy, living trouble-free, carefree, stress-free lives. You know, coming to church, involved, connected, and, you know, part of the church family. And God healed the areas of their lives that they were struggling and hurting in. And then slowly, you know, some of them due to COVID, some for other reasons, they started getting disconnected little by little. And before you know it, they don't even come to church anymore. And they're not connected to anybody in the family that they used to belong to. So they've listened to the lies of the enemy that they don't need God anymore. And, you know, he'll tell you, quit wasting all your time on all that church stuff. The enemy will tell you, you don't need this stuff. He'll tell you, you got this. You know, you learned your lesson. Now you've got this. You've got control. You know what to do. But those are lies from the enemy, because the same people that were doing fine a year and a half ago are the ones that I was saying were drifted away are now more miserable than ever. They're right back with the same problems that they had before, the same ones that God delivered them from, and some have it way worse than before. You know, I know some people that had gotten out of jail that are back in jail now, and some of them didn't just go back to jail. Some of them got sent on to prison and are doing a prison sentence, and some of them listened to the lies of the enemy so long that they just gave up all hope because they weren't surrounded with a community that would support them. And, you know, they took their own lives, and they're dead now. Our relationship with our church family and being devoted to God is not something we should take lightly. If we don't stay connected, you know, there is no good future in it. And our families and our loved ones are paying the price for it if we turn our back on those things. So if God has delivered you out of something, remember that. You know, if you're back in something, remember that he is the way out. He will deliver you again. It's not just a one-time thing. You know, if you have fell, and I've fallen many times, we have to remember that it was God that got me out of this last time. So that is the way out. We have to stop trying to figure another way out of it. And remember, it was God that got me out of this before, and it'll be God that gets me out of this time. So we just need to remember what God has done for us before, and remember that God is the way out. We need to surrender to him again, and he will deliver you again. And, you know, we talked about this last week, too. When you do return to God, you don't have to come back to God in shame. He just wants you back. He'll be glad to have you back. You know, Jesus took all our shame on the cross. God just wants you to be in fellowship with him so you can have the life that he wants you to have, the life that he has for you. And he wants you to live in and walk in the fruits of the Spirit that we just talked about so you can have that love and that joy, that peace, that patience, that goodness, that faithfulness, that gentleness, and that self-control. Those things that we don't have when we're separated from him. You know, how many of you would love to have these things in your life right now if you're going through a hard time? Would you like to have some joy in your life? Would you like to just have some peace from all the anxiety and the worry and the problems that you're going through? Or some patience, you know, just on a daily basis. We all need patience. Or what about healing in your body? Is all the stress and the worry and feeling like you're carrying the weight of the world, is it taking its toll on you? You know, a lot of people, they sink into depression and other things, and it really does take a toll on you. And there is relief from that. If you'll just come back to God. You can have all those things if you just surrender to Him and stay connected to Him, like we talked about last week. Jesus Himself said in John, in the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 6, He says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." So He says we have to not just come to Him, but we have to remain in Him. You know, a lot of people think that you can come to church, you know, say a prayer, whatever, I'm good. I'm good the rest of my life. But it does not work that way. Once we come to Jesus, He's telling us here, you have to remain in me, and then I will remain in you. And in verse 5, He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned." So we have to remain in Him, not just come to Him once, but we have to make Him the center of our lives and remain in Him. We have to stay connected because He is the source of our nutrition for our souls. And without Him, we dry up, like we talked about last week. When we get disconnected, we start seeing our fruit dry up. We'll start seeing our joy go away. Our peace will start fading. And the stress and the worry and the anger and the impatience and all those things start creeping back in. You know, those things are not from God. Those are warning signs, like I said just a minute ago, that we've got one wheel off the road and we need to look up and get back in the right lane. And we have to stay connected. We have to lose our pride and give God control of our lives. I used to look at church this way, and some of you may look at it this way too. I wanted control of my life so bad, I looked at church as punishment. You know, I looked at small groups as punishment. I don't want to do those things. That's, you know, that's cramping my style. I don't want to do that stuff. I want to do what I want to do. But we can't look at it that way. Church is not punishment, and small groups are not punishment. Reading God's Word is not punishment. It's a free gift from God that He gives us so that we can live a life that He wants us to have. And it'll give us the life that we desire if we'll just see it as the opportunity that it truly is and not punishment. Instead of seeing it as somebody telling me what to do, which is what I did for a long time, or telling me how to live my life, now, I thank God every day for His guidance. He doesn't offend me at all by showing me what I should do or what I should not do. When I was running the show, I completely messed my life up. And not only my life, all the people in my life, you know, everybody in my life, in my family, in my relationships. I wasn't just screwing my life up. I was taking everybody around me down with me. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can ask anybody from my past, and they'll say, yes, indeed, he messed it up, and he messed ours up too. You know, I don't for a minute not take responsibility for the things I've done, because I know all the people that I've hurt, and I pray for those people daily. And God is so faithful, He has restored almost all of those relationships without me doing anything. God will restore what we think has been completely destroyed. God don't see things that way. He says He'll make beauty from our ashes. And He truly does. I've seen Him do it in my life. You know, we talked a minute ago, as long as we stay connected to Jesus, because He is the vine, then we can be fruitful branches. He keeps us healthy. He keeps us full of fruit. But when we don't stay connected to the vine and stay connected to Jesus, or stay committed, like Dennis preached on just a couple of weeks ago, then we do start to dry out. I brought a demonstration with me today because some people, they learn more from visuals than they do from just listening to words. So I brought these two branches, and these come from the same plant. They are both from the same plant. So when we are connected to Jesus, we stay green, we stay healthy, we can produce fruit. But when we are not connected to Jesus, when the least little storm comes along, you know, we just break and we crumble and we just fall apart because we don't have that source of nutrition that we need flowing into us spiritually that gives us the strength that we need to fight the storms of life. But as long as we're connected to Jesus, then we'll bend with the storms. We don't break. We stay green because we have that source of nutrition flowing through us. And we have all these other healthy branches surrounding us. So when the winds of life start blowing, then I'm just one of these. All these other ones are all around me. They're going to take a lot of that impact. They're going to take a lot of that wind. And they're going to keep you from taking the full force of the storm by yourself, which we cannot do without Christ. Without Jesus, we just break and fall apart. So that's why we need to stay connected to Jesus. We turn into spiritual twigs when we're not connected. When life throws something at us and we're not being fed spiritually, then the least little storm can just snap us. But when we are connected to the vine, like I just showed you, we can bend, we can overcome, and we're not broken. And we have all those other branches around us to help block the storms that we're going through. And we're still bearing fruit. It's the same storm hitting both of those. It's the same wind, but one branch is connected to the source of its life, and the other one is disconnected. The other one is dried up and dead. You know, it's the same with us. Without Jesus, we are dead. In Colossians chapter 2, that's what Paul is talking about here. He's writing to the church in Colossae. In Colossians 2, verse 13, he says, "You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins." So before we come to Christ, we're dead spiritually. But when we do surrender our life to Jesus and we commit our life to him, then he places his Holy Spirit inside of us and we come to life spiritually. Like it says in John 15, verse 6, you know, anyone who does not remain is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So if we don't stay connected and committed and surrendered to Jesus Christ and allow his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, Jesus says we become useless. We're good for nothing but to be gathered up, piled up, and burned. And, you know, we're not only no good to ourselves, we're no good to the people in our lives. We're no good to the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. God can use you. He can do wonderful things through your life and for the people in your life, you know, for your church, for his kingdom, for your children, for your relationships, for your marriage. He can do great things through you if you'll stay connected to him. Like I told you a minute ago, without Jesus, I was a complete mess. I was just like the dried up twig right there. I was good for nothing. You know, when the least little storm would come along, it would break me. It'd give me a good reason to go drink, or it'd give me a reason to just get in my van and run away from whatever problem it was and leave somebody else to deal with it. You know, I was unresponsible. I was just a mess without Jesus. But as long as I stay connected to Jesus, stay connected to the vine, stay committed to being part of a family of God, I'm committed to my church, I'm committed to the small groups that I'm a part in, I'm connected to just the whole community of believers that God has placed me in. And as long as I stay connected to that, I produce fruit, you know, for myself. My life has never been this peaceful, ever. You know, I'm 50 years old this year, and my life has never been productive. It has never been anything good come out of it. It's never been peaceful, not for me, not for the other people in my life. I've never been able to be a faithful, dependable friend like I am today. And I know that's all Jesus. You know, he makes me useful for the church. He makes me useful for God's kingdom. It just blows my mind what he is able to do through me simply because I gave him control. And it humbles me to the core because I know who I am. I know who I was without Jesus. And Paul did too. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Paul knew that without Christ, he was a murderer. You know, he was persecuting Christians. But he knows with Christ in him, he can do mighty things for the church. And he did do mighty things for the church. But he had to constantly remind himself, without Christ, all I have is my sinful nature. And that's what I have to remind myself of daily too. There's no good thing in me. If anything good is coming out of my life or through my life, it's all Jesus. It's not me. But God knows who I am in him. He knows who you are in him too. And you would be amazed at who you are when you meet yourself after you've surrendered. You know, like I just told you a minute ago, it really does blow my mind the difference there is between the old man and the new man. And I know you'll be amazed at yourself when you surrender to Christ. I remember when I was younger, I worked in a greenhouse in Nashville. And part of my job when I worked in that greenhouse was to make cuttings off of banana trees. What we would do is we'd take one of the branches and we'd skin some of the bark down on it, and then we'd pack a hormogen on it. It's a nutrient for plants that produces root growth. And we'd pack that hormogen around the branches, and then we'd put peat moss around that and get it good and wet, and then we'd wrap it in saran wrap so it would hold the moisture in. And if you leave that on there for like 2 months, then it creates a root ball. So then you can cut it right below the bulb that you made on it, and it's its own little tree. It's got its own root system. And we would mail those all over the country. And that's the same thing that happens to us when we surrender to Jesus and allow his word to get in us. In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him, remain in him, and let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And I can vouch for that. You do overflow with thankfulness when you do start growing roots in Jesus Christ. You'll be amazed at what he does in your life. There's no way to describe it. I could stand up here all week and talk about things he's done in my life. But until you experience it yourself, you wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. He wraps us in his Holy Spirit. You know, like I said, we'd put that peat moss and that saran wrap around those banana trees. That's what he does for us. He wraps us in his Holy Spirit. And we not only grow in our knowledge of him, we start maturing in our faith. It's one thing to come to Christ in faith. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, as fire insurance, so you don't have to go to hell. But once you start growing in your knowledge of him, and you start getting rooted in your faith, then you'll start maturing in your faith. And the Holy Spirit helps us to grow strong in our faith. And we develop roots within ourselves. And then the truth that Jesus Christ places in our hearts, it starts speaking louder than the lies of the enemy. And we start developing roots of our own. We're not so easily deceived. You know, when the enemy tells me it'd just be easier for you to go over here and get you a bottle and run away, then the voice of the Lord in me starts talking louder than him. So I'm not easily deceived. When the enemy starts trying to get us to believe that the old way was better, it's like our truth alarm goes off. And we're like, no, it was not better. You know, and we remember that it wasn't better. And we remember that God is the one that got us out of that. And the Holy Spirit will flood your mind with verses that you can use to fight off the enemy. Just like Jesus did when he was tempted of Satan in the wilderness. You know, you'll have that scripture inside of you. And when you're going through something, the Holy Spirit will call those verses to your mind so that you have ammunition to fight the enemy with. In the book of Jeremiah, you know, going along with what we're talking about, in chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, it says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." So when we stay connected to God and when our life turns up the heat and times get hard, we won't dry up like that twig that we just crumbled. And we won't break because we're still connected to the source. And our roots are in Jesus Christ. And he gives us strength, just like the green branch that we looked at. We won't wither up. We'll stay strong even in the storms. And things that would easily break us without him can't break us if we stay connected to the source of our strength. But we have to remember and not be start getting self-righteous, thinking that we've done it in our own strength. That's one of the main reasons people drift away from God. When life gets better, they start believing, I really do got this. I'm doing good. They forget it wasn't me that did all these things. It was God through me. And we have to remember that he is our source and not ourselves. You know, I think I said last week, I have to remember on a daily basis that these are not the fruits of Wade. You know, I didn't produce these things. They were never in me. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And without him, we'll wind up turning right back into spiritual twigs again and right back into the wasteland that God brought us out of. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a twig. I've been a twig. It's not fun. I want leaves. I want to be like the green branch. It's prettier, it don't break, and I want to bear fruit. Not only do I want my life to get better, I want to make life better for other people that are in my life. So we have to remember that Jesus is our source, or we will start listening to those lies again. And not only that, we'll deceive ourselves. You know, it says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. It's desperately wicked. And who really knows how bad it is? If we back up to verses 5 and 6 in Jeremiah 17, it talks about what happens when we don't stay connected to the vine. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. That's some of that ungodly advice I'm talking about. When we start listening to our old friends or the, you know, ungodly people in our lives, then we will turn our hearts away from the Lord, like it says in this verse here. So we can't rely on mere humans. We can't rely on human strength, because it will turn our hearts away from the Lord. And in verse 6, it says, then we will be stunted like shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. We'll turn right back into that twig again if we don't stay connected to the vine. So we can't listen to our own reasoning. You know, we just read our heart is deceitful. We deceive ourselves. You know, I said a while ago that my reasoning and my way of doing things and listening to ungodly counsel is what got me into the mess that I was in to start with. And I tell you all the time that two of my go-to verses on a daily basis has to be Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You know, I really do have to rely on those verses daily. You know, even in little things that I think, well, I've done this a million times. I've got this. I don't have to bring this before God and bother him with this. When I start making little compromises like that, even the simple things that I think I'm doing on my own strength, I'll start messing them up. I'll start not doing them. They won't be working out right. And I'm like, what is the deal with this? I know how to do this. And then when I back up and look, you know, I forgot to include God in it. So we have to invite God and into every aspect of our lives and not rely on our own strength, like it said in verse 5. I have to remember that it was God that got me out of my mess. And we have to be like the people that it talks about in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. So we have to see, like I said a minute ago, we can't see church or reading God's word or small groups or any of that stuff as punishment. We have to see it for what it is, and that's guidance to help us lead a fruitful, happy, peaceful life. We've got to stay connected to the vine in order to grow roots. And we have to have roots, like we talked about a minute ago, in order to mature in our faith and in the Lord and to grow our faith so that we can produce fruit in our lives and be productive in our Christian walk and not just be a, you know, somebody that just attends church. We'll start being productive. We'll start seeing fruit come alive in our lives. But we have to stay connected to the vine, and we have to remember that Jesus Christ is the vine. And we have to remember, too, that there is no other vine. We talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, there's coexist and all roads lead to God and all that. There is only one way to God. There is only one God. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ, and there's only one Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus himself said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You know, there's nobody can get to the Father except through him. And that's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if anybody's telling you any other way that you can get a better life, it'll be temporary. It will not last. It will not work. Jesus is the only way that we're going to live a fruitful, productive, happy life. And he gives us direction. You know, I like this verse in Psalm 119. It goes right along with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So we have to see God's word for what it is. It's for our benefit. It gives us instructions on how to live our lives, and it'll keep us from all the problems that we bring upon ourselves. You know, we're still going to have tribulations and trials and stuff, but it'll help us through them, and it'll help us to avoid most of them. Most of the bad things in my life I brought on myself because I wasn't doing it God's way. But without Him, we have no direction. You know, we're only trying to satisfy our own lust, our desires, our cravings. That's all we have without the Holy Spirit. There is no direction without Jesus. All we have is that primal urge that we're born with to satisfy our own flesh. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 13. It says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So God didn't create us just to fulfill our fleshly desires. He wants us to be spiritually alive. He wants us to be a branch of Christ. And without the Holy Spirit leading us, you know, that's all we have is our fleshly desires. So we have to have the Holy Spirit. You know, I want more than that out of life. I want more than just trying to please my body. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, that's what John is trying to tell the believers in the church that he's at. He says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Like I said, I want more than that. I don't want to just satisfy my cravings. And I hope you do too. You know, there's more to life than just satisfying our flesh. But it takes surrendering to Jesus Christ and making Him Lord. Not just believing that He exists, you know, like we talked about a minute ago, but to truly surrender to Him and to remain in Him and let Him be Lord of your life. And, you know, that requires change. It took a lot of change in my life. And we have to be willing to change. We've got to be willing to let go of things in our life that God wants us to let go of, to get things out of our life that don't belong in our lives. I remember when I surrendered my life to Christ, almost everything in my life was ungodly. And I'd spent years trying to fix this or fix that. And those weren't things I should have been trying to fix. Those, when I did surrender, God's like, those are things you need to get rid of. You don't even need that in your life. It's like He took my life and wadded it up like a piece of paper and said, that is not your life. This is your life. And then He started putting things into my life that should have been in my life the whole time. So God don't fix your old life. He discards that. He says the old man is dead. You know, He gives you a new life. And I think a lot of us do that. We spend years trying to fix our lives when that's not the life God has for us. He wants us to get those things out of our lives so that He can give us the new life He wants us to have. But like I just said, we have to change. We have to be willing to let go of those things, and we have to be willing to put things in our lives. And change is rough. Change hurts. Change is scary. You know, it scared me to death when I surrendered to Jesus because I had no idea what it was going to look like. I was afraid I wouldn't be me anymore. I didn't know what to expect. But that was the best thing I've ever done. We have to be willing to obey Him and start doing the things that He tells us to do. Let Him actually be in control of our lives. Let Him be Lord. We'll have to quit being in control of our own lives. You know, we have to just have enough courage to let go of the wheel and trust God. And one of the most important things we have to do after we've surrendered our lives to Christ, because this was my downfall many times because I did not do this, is let the people in our lives know that I've gave my life to Jesus. And not just let them know you've surrendered your life to Christ. We have to prove it to them. Let them know I don't do those things anymore. And actually stop doing those things, because they're not gonna believe it when you just tell them I've surrendered my life to Christ. We have to prove it to them. Some of y'all that have been around the church for a while, you may have heard Josh preach on this before, but the example that he used was take a battered wife. You know, if her husband used to beat on her, and then he gets right with Christ, and he tells her, I'm never going to hit you again. I've surrendered my life to Jesus. She's not going to believe him. Just like I told a lot of people in my life, you know, I'm not going to drink anymore. They'd heard that a million times, but I always went back to drinking. They're not going to believe you when you first tell them that. But over time, when you're faithful and you are following Christ and you are walking in the Spirit instead of in the flesh, they'll start seeing the fruit produced in your life that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then they'll start believing that, you know, the power of Christ is real. They'll see it. It'll be evident in your life. And then you can become a witness for Christ. You know, when we come to Christ, we are ambassadors for him. We are representatives of Christ. And you will have an audience, especially if you were like me and you lived a pretty ungodly life. People are going to be watching to see if the power of Christ is real or if it's just some, you know, if it's just fake. So when we give our lives to Christ, we have to be committed to it. We have to actually live it in our lives. Stay connected to the vine so we can be healthy branches for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our friends, you know, for the kingdom of God, for everything involved. We need to be faithful, and we need to stay connected to Jesus so we don't dry up and we don't start fading away and become a twig like we just talked about a minute ago. And if you are just fading away, I pray that you would come back to God. That's all I've got for this week. I'm going to pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. But my prayer for you is that if you're not connected, if you were connected and you got disconnected, that you would come back. And if you've never been connected, that you would find the courage to surrender your life to Christ. And I can tell you from experience that that is the best thing you could ever do. Father, I just pray that everyone who hears this message, everyone listening, that if they are not connected to you, or if they have just drifted away from you, Lord Jesus, and became disconnected from the vine, that your Holy Spirit would draw them, Lord, and give them courage today to humble themselves and surrender control of their lives to you and be grafted into your family, be grafted in to the vine. And I just pray, Lord, that if they do have that fear, that you would help them to find the courage to trust you just like you did me, and to trust you, Lord, and to be obedient to you so that they can experience the excitement and the joy of watching you work in their lives, Lord, and the lives of those around them, and to feel that peace that comes from knowing that they belong to you and that they've made everything right with you, Lord, and so that they can get rid of all the shame and the guilt that the enemy has placed on them, Lord, for years. I just pray that you'd help them to see that you are not a God of condemnation or judgment. You're a God of grace and love and peace. And I just pray, Father, that you would give them the strength, draw them to you through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that they would humble themselves and surrender to you, Lord, and be saved to the glory of your name. And it's in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen.